careers advice were you given when you were at school? From some of the people we've heard from already, producer Tim was told to do maths and pursue a career in accountancy. He was good at maths, but hated it, and he's now producing radio programmes. I didn't really help the careers advisor, because when they said, what do you want to be, Hawkins? My answer to that was Gary Newman, which didn't really help anybody. And we've just been hearing from Kevin near Hodnet, who went in to see his careers advisor, his careers teacher at school, and was told to become a draftsman. Later, when he and his contemporaries at school got out of the office, they discovered that every single person had been told to become a draftsman. He wanted to be a Franciscan monk. This might suggest that maybe careers advice isn't necessarily helping everybody out. If you, on the other hand, had got really great careers advice and it got you into a dream job or it got you where you wanted to be, I want to hear about it. 01743 248 321. Well, Ed Williams is an academic and careers consultant. He's based in Cheshire and he believes careers and university admissions guidance needs updating. Ed, thanks for joining us this morning. First off, what career advice were you given?
I was given appalling career advice. So the guy who gave it to us, he basically had lived at the school where I was for about 25 years, and he would talk endlessly about in the real world, and he lived in a Grace and Favour house and had one job his entire career. So it wasn't great.
I was going to say, perhaps not got his finger on the pulse of the real world then, really.
Not massively in sort of touch with things, no. So what he'd do is he'd give you like a box ticking exercise. You'd go, do you want to be a lawyer? And you'd say yes or no. And they'd go, right, you can be a lawyer or otherwise. And then he'd disappear into an ante room and you'd never hear from him again.
Right. So, yeah. So not really advice or guidance. What did you end up doing and what are you doing now?
So I went all around the houses. So I performed very, very badly at A levels. My father told me I was an idiot. I went to the first uni that would accept me. I studied art. I worked at the BBC for a bit. I did all sorts of jobs, and then I kind of ended up in recruitment about 15 years ago. Mm. And then for the last 3 years, I've been working with schools and colleges trying to help students plot their own careers and do it in a slightly better way than I did.
And what have you seen whilst doing that?
Honestly, that it hasn't changed massively since I was at school.
Oh.
And actually, arguably, I would say it's sort of worse now, because it used to be, if you went to university, that was the kind of magic bullet that everyone kind of talked about. You walk into any kind of career of your choice, and it's just not like that anymore. I think the stats, obviously, people are dropping out of uni, 6.6% dropout last year. And with 3 out of 4 people who are graduating getting a 2.1 or above, it's much, much harder for employers to actually figure out who's good and who's bad. Mm. So the landscape has changed massively in terms of the opportunities that are out there, but the advice has remained pretty much static. So it's not a great sort of picture.
So what needs updating? What do careers guidance people, what do university admissions people need to be doing differently, as far as you're concerned?
I think there's no thing that people should be doing. I think the reality is the advice is simply not there. It's being given more often than not. The budgets have been slashed within schools. So they used to bring in external people to come and do this kind of thing. But it's just being dumped onto teachers who, by the sort of very nature of their experience and what they do, have limited sphere of experience in that, how to write a CV, how to access a career in anything other than teaching.
Mm.
So I think the best thing that students can be doing is just be proactive. Don't wait for somebody to help you, because it's probably not going to come. And by that I mean get out there, get work experience. I think most people remember their own kind of work experience, where you're essentially dumped in an uncle's office to do photocopying for a couple of afternoons.
Yeah, make the coffee, make more coffee. Yeah, come on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And actually, that only probably confirms that you don't necessarily want to make coffee or do photocopying with your uncle.
Yeah, quite.
So I think, that's the thing. When people talk about work experience, it needs to be valuable, it needs to be useful, it needs to be in service of a potential future. And I think that's what students need to be really, really hot on, is from the moment, they start to have an idea about what it is they think they might want to do, start to explore that. go out there, you know, phone up local company and say, hey, look, I'm interested in doing X. I'd love to come and chat to you for an afternoon or, you know, a weekend or during the holidays, and just see whether it is something you like. And the more you do that, you start to build your professional portfolio. So it means that you start to build your professional network. You've got stuff to talk about in your university admissions, personal statement, because you've actually done something. And I think that's much more compelling than saying, I'm really interested in something based on absolutely no kind of tangible evidence.
Yeah, it's like people put hobbies, reading, on their CV.
Yeah. You know. Very often on CVs, I mean, that's another thing that's done very, very badly in schools is sort of CV writing. Now, I've looked at literally thousands of CVs, and then when you go into schools and they're told, and they always say the exact same things, which I've worked very well as part of a team, but I can be trusted on my own. And if you think about what that actually says, all it's saying is that you don't need to be either supervised or you're mildly resentful of the fact that you might be, and that you don't start fights with people.
Yeah, quite.
It's not great.
It's not setting the bar very high, really, is it?
It's not.
Earlier in this hour, we were talking about progression events for current year 11s who will be leaving school next June, some of whom have an idea what to do, some of whom have no idea what to do, and their families are equally confused. What about young people in that position?
I think the best thing to do is to really take a step back from the whole situation. Schools are naturally kind of geared towards trying to get people into university. That's always seen as the kind of the de facto route that they promote, because that's what their metrics are based upon. So every decision that a child makes from 15, 16 onwards is geared towards that potential goal. That's what the university, what some of the schools are kind of pushing them towards. So rather than think about it, I think about, you know, what kind of goals you have for the future. Everyone's got some kind of goal, whether it's where they want to live, the kind of car they want to drive, the house they want to live, the sort of lifestyle, you know, they want to live in a city, they want to live in a village, you know, whatever it might be. And start at that point and work logically backwards. Think about your skills, your aptitudes, what you enjoy, and then try and figure out what a career path might be from that position. That might change a lot along the way, but if you've got a kind of a tether point in the future, then the academic choices that you make will be supporting a goal rather than just an abstract kind of, well, we need to do something.
Mm. You've got a book coming out soon called Is Your School Lying to You? Get the career you want, get the life you deserve. Are schools lying to pupils?
Not wittingly.
Right. So they're not doing it on purpose?
No, I don't. I think it's unkind. The title is obviously designed to be mildly provocative. But
yes.
I think the reality is that schools say they're doing all of this stuff, and they say they're doing it well, but it's largely untested, because all they have to do is get them out of the door, and they say university is the thing, get them out of the door, and then they'll be set. But no one has to check on them 5 years at a time. You know, no one's sort of saying, oh, are you in the job that you want? Are you happy? Are you, you know, doing everything you expected to do? Yeah. Like, graduates 21 to 30 and employment dropped last year, and it's kind of a downward trend. And I think, schools are complicit in this, because they just assure the parents they're doing it, and the parents kind of cede responsibility and go, the school are doing it, so I don't have to worry. But in the area where I live, this is a good example. There are 36 secondary schools and colleges that I've kind of had dealings with. I called, emailed, hectored, twittered, you know, everything I could to try and get in touch with these people. And I think maybe 10 of them responded. And without knowing kind of what it is exactly that we could offer, they assured us that they already did it.
Right.
What did you do? No, we do that. Of those, I work with private clients who go to those schools, and they were the ones that I approached based on the fact that the parents were kind of expressing grave concerns about how their children were being treated and the advice they were getting. I was working with from the horse's mouth, these people are telling me, this is poor, this is really poor, and they're not doing the right stuff. Go to the school. No, we're doing it. So, there's a free school opened in the Halton area a couple of years ago, and the chair of governors, we went in to have a chat with him, and this is my business partner and I, I went in to have a chat and just, I said, look, you know, here's what we do. You know, I'd be very interested in this. And he described careers advice as just the latest fad. So that kind of gives you an idea.
Careers advice is just the latest fad.
Yeah.
Well, I've got to say, it's hung on longer than Rara skirt did. Ed Williams' book is called "Is Your School Lying to You? Get the Career You Want, Get the Life You Deserve." It comes out next January. Published by Free Association Books. To be frank, demographics, unlikely. We have that many under 18s listening to us right now. But we have a lot of their parents and a lot of their grandparents. What do you want them to know? What do you want them to bear in mind, Ed?
I think it really is just a question of not accepting everything that the schools are saying. Don't take it on, you know, faith that they're doing everything they should. Be proactive. If your kids are interested in something, speak to them. You know, speak to people you know where you work. Anyone that can help them, give them work experience, let them talk to them, give them some sort of exposure to it so they understand, you know, what options are out there and how they can access them. I think that's the biggest thing. And that, and obviously buy the book.
Quite. Yes, yeah. whilst you're at it. Ed Williams, thank you very much for your time this morning. Really appreciate you spending the time with us. Cheers, Ed. Thank you.
Cheers, Jim. Thank you, Doc.
That's Ed Williams. His book is called "Is Your School Lying to You? Get the Career You Want, Get the Life You Deserve." It's not out yet. It comes out next January. But if you search online for "Is Your School Lying to You?" And Ed Williams is spelled with two Ds, Ed, E-D-D, Williams. Then you can find out more. And interested, if maybe you're in education, connected with education, like to know what you think of what you've been hearing, including what careers advice did you have and was it any good? Moist and Gorgeous says, I was lucky enough to be allowed to study classics for A-level despite being dreadful at them. There were no league tables then to scare the school into bullying me to do something else. After much thought, the careers gurus thought I'd find law too boring, so I advised I should read politics, philosophy and economics at Oxford and seek a career in politics. Oxford didn't agree. I retired in 2003 after 35 years in the law, unbored. For all the well-meaning advice you get, life remains largely what you make it, with a fair pinch of the totally random thrown in. Embrace it. Good advice.